Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming here. I'm presenting today an experiment which I did in collaboration with the Lincoln University in New Zealand under the supervision of Tim Clough. And basically, we show the importance of soil moisture and bulk density on nitric oxide reduction, so complete denitrification, but using actually enriched nitric oxide. Well, very quickly, of course, as already mentioned, NTO is an important greenhouse gas. Agricultural soils, which is my research area, are a major source of NTO. And if you're talking about the topsoil fluxes, well, they are mostly strongly influenced by all kind of soil physical, but also soil biological properties and processes in the subsoil. Well, as already mentioned, there are two main microbial processes for production of NTO. It is nitrification and denitrification. Well, I'm focusing here on denitrification in this experiment. And if you're talking about NTO, it means actually we have incomplete denitrification. Well, Davidson et al. In 1991 proposed in this graph the relative contribution of nitrification and denitrifications to emissions of N2O in relation or as a function of soil moisture. What I wanted to show here is, or what I want to say is basically, you can have an optimum for N2O emissions, let's say here around 70% water-free pore space. But you can also have an optimum for complete denitrification, which is actually the production of elemental nitrogen at 90% water-filled pore space. However, the interesting point is actually where you have the switch point from incomplete denitrification to complete denitrification. And therefore, I want to say N2O emissions are always actually the result of production minus the reduction of N2O. Well, the quantitative insight in the relationships between N2O reduction and soil physical properties influencing actually denitrification or complete denitrification are still in the literature quite limited. For that reason, we wanted to investigate the relationship with soil moisture and bulk density on N2O emissions. So how did we do this? Well, actually quite easy. It's a lab study. We used soil cores. So basically, of course, you have the soil and you have a flux chamber because you have to collect the gases. The difference is what we did is we installed below the soil core or the soil column actually a silicon sheet which is permeable for gases. And then we have a reservoir where we inject nitric oxide over the time of the experiment and so simulate actually a subsoil with high concentrations of N2O, which is also quite often reported in literature. If you look in literature, the subsoil concentration of nitric oxide are really, really high, especially in agricultural soils, or in my case, I'm working in the Netherlands. I mean, their soils are really full of nitrogen. Well, of course, we worked with dried soil. We repacked the soil columns. It's a silt loamy soil from New Zealand, close to Christchurch, and with a pH of 5.9. We have four replicates per treatment. And talking about the treatment, well, we have three moisture contents, 60, 75, and 90% water-free pore space. And we have three bulk densities, which I'm shortening later with high, mid, and low. Bulk densities, of course, these are not the natural one, because we repacked, so they are artificially created. So for that reason, they're a little bit strange values. We had, of course, a pre-incubation phase of 9 days because this microbial community has to grow again after drying the soil. And then we inject every 12 hours self-made enriched nitric oxide, which is enriched with 10%. And the concentration of it was actually 100,000 ppm, which is also 10%. And over the whole time of the experiment, which was 20 days. Also, over the whole time of the experiment, we collected topsoil fluxes, like we measured them and we took samples, as well for 3C analysis, but also for mass spec analysis, so for the 15N content. And at the end of the experiment, this I think is also very important to do, you have to make a budget analysis, because if you want to quantify something, you have not only to know what's coming out of the system, so what are the cumulative fluxes, but you also have to know what actually remains in the soil, and also in our case, the reservoir. So straight to the results. What I want to show here is basically, you see like on the x-axis the time, and you on the left the y-axis you see the N2O fluxes, the roof fluxes. What you basically see here after initial phase, they are quite constant over time. If you see this, look this in a little bit more detail in the cumulative fluxes, then you see actually that by the treatments which had 60% water filled pore space, they are all lying on the, or they are all on the same line, which means there is no effect of the bulk density which we had. The emissions are quite high if you compare this to 90% water filled pore space, because 90% water pore space you have complete denitrification, so you have actually almost no N2O emissions. There is also no effect to see of the bulk density. However, and this is the interesting point, if you have the 70% water filled pore space treatment, you see suddenly the effect of bulk density coming in. So with a higher bulk density, you have lower emissions, whereas you have with lower bulk densities, you have higher emissions. Well, these are of course only the cumulative fluxes, which means what's coming out. If you do a budget analysis and you combine everything, so like the cumulative fluxes over the whole experiment, what is actually remaining in the soil, and also what is in the reservoir. And of course I mentioned that we used labeled nitro oxide. So the nice thing is, combining all these techniques, first of all you can make a total out of it, and the second thing is you can distinguish between like natural production of nitro oxide, which is then 14 N2O, but you also can distinguish but from the gas which you inject, how much is actually diffusing through your soil, how much is remaining in your soil, so what not has happened with it. But another way around, you can make assumption or calculate how much actually of the gas which you inject is reduced. And this is basically what we did in the next graph. What I'm presenting here are, well, you see on the x-axis the treatment combination, and then the y-axis what I'm doing is like I express the amount and percentage of N2O of the total injected N2O. And what you can see is actually basically in the 60% water-filled pore space treatments, you have around, well, let's say 55% of the gas which I'm injecting comes actually out again. Not only out, but it's actually it's not converted to the nitrogen gas. To the 90%, which is on the right side, you see that there is actually no 15 N2O anymore. However, you see the interesting thing is here, also the 75%, you see there the effect of bulk density. You can do the same for production, so the 14 N2O. You see it is rather low, because I express it also in amount of percentage injected N2O. It's quite low because I'm injecting a lot of nitro oxide. But the thing is, what you can see still is significant. You produce in the 75% treatment more than in the 90% followed by the 60%. Well, these are the reduction, which is basically the opposite picture of the diffusion, what I'm calling diffusion or recovery. Let's go back to this. Thing is, you can, well, I plotted here on the x-axis the treatment combination, but what you also can do, you can actually combine water-filled pore space, soil moisture, and bulk density, and can make a new unit out of it. And I express this in volume fractions of air. The nice thing is what happened then is you can dot actually all, every single column which you have in a two-way x, and you see quite interestingly that the 90% water-filled pore space treatments, they have a low volume fraction of air, but also a low amount or a low total 15N content, whereas the 60% is actually the other way around. But the nice thing is here, the 75%, you see that they actually spread over the different concentrations, which means like it is a point where something happened in the one direction or in the other direction. You can do the same for the production, the natural production of 14N and 2O, and of course the reduction, which is exactly the opposite. Well, in summary, the total 15N and 2O, which I call here the recovery, so what is in the reservoir, soil, and in the community fluxes together, increase with higher volume fraction of air. The total 15N2 elemental nitrogen, which you see the third point. So actually the reduction is exactly the opposite. It decreases with higher volume fractions of air. However, the natural production is highest at 75%, followed by 90% and then by 60% water filled pore space, whereas we see a significant effect of the water filled pore space. In general, at high and low soil moisture contents, the bulk density don't have an effect. So it means basically you talk about if you have a soil which has the conditions for incomplete denitrification, bulk density will not change something. If you have a soil which has the conditions for complete denitrification, it will also not change. However, at the 75% water filled pore space, so at the switch point, which I also indicate with this graph again, there the bulk density has a significant effect. Well, basically what we say is like our result shows that N2O profile dynamics, in this case diffusion characteristic reduction of nitric oxide, should always taken into account if you want to link soil characteristics to N2O emissions. And in general, it is quite often said like a wet soil produces or has higher emissions of N2O. It is not necessarily true. It really depends on the subsoil properties and situation. Well, thank you for your attention.